Oh, here. Jahan Dotson. Is he a reach of the first round or is he a future star for fantasy football? I'm here and I'm joined by my colleague, Paul Blake, to answer that question today. Paul, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. What's shaking?
Yeah, we're ready to talk. I'm excited to talk to Paul because he brings us a different angle. He does a lot of scouting on these guys in college. You know me, if you guys listen to my stuff, I'm very like NFL-focused, redraft. I'm going to be really interested to see what Paul Blake brings to the table today to talk about Jahan Dotson, his fit with the Commanders. Is he a nice compliment to Terry McLaurin? We're going to have all those answers for you. But before we do, we want to make sure that we're self-promoting. Make sure you're following us at razzball.com, where all our content is posted, all our featured articles, everything from myself, what Paul and all our team drops on the baseball, basketball, hockey, and also football. But make sure you're also following the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. If you guys are currently watching this video on Periscope, hop over to YouTube. You can actually leave comments on YouTube. Make sure you're also following us on TikTok and Instagram. We're dropping a lot of quick content on there as well, at Razzball Fantasy. Real simple and slick. Everything's the same name, so make sure you're following us across the board. But like, without burying the lead, let's get into it. We're going to talk about Jahan Dotson. Listening to Ron Rivera talk about the pick already, it sounds like they were really high on this guy. He basically said, we didn't even have to interview the kid. We already liked him, which seems a little risky. But at the same time, why waste a visit if you believe in the kid? I'm okay with it. But Paul, give me what you got on this kid from college. What do you love about his game? Do you think he'll be a good compliment to Terry? Give it us all. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm a big Jahan Dotson fan. I think he's going to be quite good. I think he'll be pretty good right away, and I think he's going to be real helpful down the road. 16th overall pick, as we mentioned, went to the Commanders. Four-star recruit out of high school, 192nd nationally. That's by 247 Sports. So you get into that top 200 as a four-star receiver, you're a pretty talented guy. And a lot of those four stars don't hit. It takes a person who, you know, there's a lot of kids who are fast, six foot two, 170 pounds in high school, who can really run, and they're the stars of their high school team. But it takes a special player to kind of hang in there and then eventually become a first round draft pick. And that's exactly what Dotson did here. Not a big dude, 5'11, 190, but this kid's tougher than the Sunday crossword. I'm telling you, man, I saw him bounce up after multiple big hits. He's okay in the weather. Saw him play multiple games in the snow. He's not going to have to get accustomed to playing in the cold in Washington because he's already there. He's used to it, right? 91 catches his senior year, or 2021. Over 1,100 yards, 13 TDs, and he's averaging 13 yards per catch that season, which is pretty impressive. So he's a big play guy, but he's also a big play guy in the sense of big moments in the game. Penn State went to this kid when they needed a big play, multiple big punt returns when the game's on the line, tie game. They're always looking for him in the end zone, looking for that big play from this kid. He carried that offense, and he wound up, I believe, was second overall in Penn State history for receptions, which is saying a lot because there was some shoddy quarterback play up there for Penn State the last few years here. He's great after the catch, can make people miss, can run away from guys. Man, he is really good when the play breaks down. So when you get into those kind of backyard play situations that Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill are so good at, Dotson's good at that stuff too. He's just a good quality football player. I think he's going to start right away for the Commanders. They just lost DeAndre Carter. He's gone over to the Chargers. I loved his story, you know, undrafted rookie free agent who kind of stuck it out on practice squad, super fast guy. Like I said, he's on the Chargers now. He's gone. That's 44 receptions and 10 rushes he had last year. Those are open. All right. Adam Humphreys, now gone. I think he's gone back to the Titans. That was 62 receptions or 62 targets now up in the air. I think that Dotson sees a lot of those. That's over 100 targets now and 10 rushing plays. I think he eats up a lot of that. Who else is in front of him on the depth chart? Obviously, you got Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry. He's quite good. Dotson's probably not going to unseat him as the number one, but McLaurin's a free agent next year. And I don't know if he's going to want to stick around with Washington. They may want to franchise tag him, but we've seen how that goes with star receivers. You try and franchise tag these guys, they're going to throw a fit. They're going to push their way out of that team. Basically, I don't know where Terry McLaurin is going to be playing next year. We'll see how that all pans out. Other guy that we've got in front of him, I mean, Curtis Samuel was once a pretty exciting player, but the injuries have just really added up on Samuel. We're looking at two hamstring injuries, two groin injuries, ankle, knee, back. I mean, that's a lot to come back from. I'm not saying he can't do it, but he's getting closer to 30, and these injuries have piled up on him. You know, I think he's a top 10 rookie. He's a versatile and creative route runner. So I've seen him run the shallow routes, the short routes, and he can also take them deep. Really good on that bubble screen, like I said, with that after the catch ability. Yeah, man, I'm really excited about Dotson. He seems to be the forgotten guy out of a lot of these receivers. And, man, I think the Commanders got a pretty good one here.
So I guess I have two questions for you. The first one I actually pre-show set you up for, and the second one came to me halfway through, and I apologize. So I'm actually going to put you a little on the spot here. The first question is, with a guy like Curtis Samuel, who could play, he played a vertical style role with the Carolina Panthers, but then he also played the next season in the slot. Can Dotson play in the slot, or is he going to be primarily on the outside?
So I think the answer to that's yes for both. He can play both. I would think that they will put him in the slot to start just to kind of get that dynamic, you know, get his dynamic playmaking on the field right away. And he's also, like I mentioned, he's a smaller guy. You know, they don't want him to get buried in with this press coverage, these bigger corners in the NFL who are much better at that. He faced a lot of zone in the Big Ten. You know, he ate up Iowa, and Iowa runs that cover three defense, basically every single play of the game, they're running cover three. I bet they run cover three probably 80-90% of the plays that they run. And, you know, Wisconsin, they don't want to get up there and press them because Wisconsin likes to blitz. You know, many of the teams, they'd just rather play off and play zone for Dotson. So while I've seen him get off man coverage, haven't seen him do it in the NFL, haven't seen him do it against top flight corners. And I think they may want to kind of give him that cushion, get him on that off that man coverage by keeping him in the slot. Maybe move him around kind of a lot of pre-snap movement to try and avoid that press coverage.
Okay, so his player comps are Tyler Lockett, John Brown, and DeSean Jackson, who all had success in the NFL, so I don't hate the comps, and all had relatively nice success as rookies, right around 10 points in PPR their rookie season. But of those three guys, is there one that stands out as the best fit for Dotson?
I kind of lost you there, Bobby. What was that?
Couldn't hear me. All right.
About that. Yeah, I got you now.
All right. All good. I asked if you, Tyler Lockett, John Brown, and DeSean Jackson are the three comps. Which one do you think of those as the best, or are they all not good?
I like Lockett out of that group. I think Lockett's a great comp. You know, DeSean Jackson, I like him. Obviously, he's put up a lot of yards in the NFL, and you can't argue with that. But he was a bit of a one-trick pony. You know, he's running deep. John Brown, pretty similar. You know, John Brown had to have a good quarterback wherever he was successful. It was with top flight quarterbacks, you know, so, but Dotson was able to do it with kind of poor quarterback play there in Penn State. And I don't know how you feel about Carson Wentz, but Dotson's likely to see poor quarterback play in Washington as well.
Average at best, right? But so like you already did a great job breaking this down, but I like to talk about the opportunities that this kid has right when he walks in. So I do an analysis opportunity. Yeah.
There you go. Sorry.
I must be going in and out. It's all right. Hopefully people can hear me on the other side. But so basically there's about 204 available opportunities according to my analysis I do every offseason. You brought up all the guys that left. Ricky Seals-Jones also left as well. So there is a lot of opportunities there. But look at the depth chart. Behind Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas tore his ACL on December 5th. He's not going to be 100% by week one. Curtis Samuel has been in and out of the lineup all the time. Then you have the running backs, which is fine. But Carson Wentz isn't known to check down to his running backs a lot. He did do it a decent amount last year with Taylor and Hines, but he's not a guy that typically checks down to his running backs. So just from that information, behind McLaurin, the number two spot is wide open. So I wanted to take a look at Carson Wentz's history with vertical threats. And listen, this is a very small sample size because DeSean Jackson could not stay healthy. But man, oh man, when those two played together and DeSean Jackson was healthy, he had put up stat lines like 8, 154 and 2, 6 for 64, and 1 for 81 and 1. Explosive with his short time. That's why that comp stuck in the back of my mind, because I'm like, oh wow, I've seen DeSean Jackson do it with Carson Wentz. The other thing here, though, is the only guy that kind of fits the mold a little bit of a smaller, more of a vertical threat kind of guy is Nelson Agholor. And Agholor played alongside Alshon Jeffrey. Jeffrey had, and you could think Jeffrey would be the primary target along with McLaurin. Nelson Agholor was the number two. Agholor in the two main seasons that he played with Wentz, wide receiver 28, wide receiver 51, kind of all over the place. But at least we see there was a scenario where he supported a second top 30 wide receiver, someone that was more of a vertical threat down the field like a Nelson Agholor. So all that being said, let's talk about some ADPs, and you let me know what you're feeling. I'm going to give you their currently Dotson's ADP for redraft best ball, and I'm also going to give you his dynasty rookie draft. Right now he's going 65th, wide receiver 65, overall 160. His dynasty is 6th overall for rookie draft. So what do you think those are appropriate? Give me your thoughts on his current ADP.
Yeah, I'm by all day on that redraft. I think that's just too low for him. As you mentioned, you know, Agholor, to be honest, Agholor might be his equal, maybe even his better as far as just pure athleticism goes. But Dotson doesn't have that drop problem that Agholor has. I mean, gosh, Stonehands just dropped so many wide open passes. I don't see Dotson doing that. He didn't do that in college. I don't think he'll do that in the pros. So I think you could probably split the difference between that. What do we have, 28 and 50? Like maybe you could kind of split the difference on that, which means if he's 65, you know, you're getting a buy at that situation. Now, as far as that first year rookie draft, 6th overall, I think that's a fair price. You know, I wouldn't go much higher than that, but, you know, I don't think he belongs much lower than that either. So, you know, I think 6th is good. If you can get him after 6, that's great. But I would not push him up too much higher than, you know, 5 or 4. I think there's better options there.
Okay. Yeah, I think that based on what I've learned from him and the look diving into all this stuff, I think he is a buy at his wide receiver 65. So I'm actually going to go with you on that too, but that's pretty much all we got. That's Jahan Dotson. See, this is what we're here, folks. We're giving you quick insight, but we're going to be back in a couple hours to break down another one. By the way, I did my research on this guy that we're going to talk about later. I fell in love with the guy. Okay, I might be in on this one, but before we close out, Paul, why don't you give the people some information on your upcoming articles or where they can find your information?
Yeah, so my stuff's going to be found on Razzball Football. Paul Blake, you want to check that out? I've got an article coming out. Basically, I did the top 15 rookies before the draft, and now I'm taking a look and seeing kind of where I went wrong. What happened? How did I adjust it? So I'm just taking my top 15, put an update as to where they got drafted, and then just kind of my new thoughts and see kind of where I would re-rank them. There's some I think I hit the target pretty good. Others, yeah, not so much. So yeah. It's kind of a humbling experience, but it's also it's very informative, and it's just nice to kind of, you know, how often do we take a look back and be like, okay, let's assess myself, see where I missed. You know, we're always kind of on to the next thing and forget, you know, how accurate we were before. And I kind of just want to hold myself accountable and you know, see where things go from there.
I like it, man. So that's it. That's all we got for today. Make sure you're also following us across the board. As a reminder, subscribe, rate, review, all those things on the podcast at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. And make sure you're always going to check out Razzball.com. I'm your host, Bobby Lamarco. That's my co-host, Paul Blake. Thanks for joining. We are out of here.